Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we always have Dr. Connie on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. on Thursday nights, Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of this show, all the shows are available in the archives, and the best way of going to or getting to those is to go to our website, which is Spiritual Connections Radio, and there's a link at the top that shows you how to go to listen to the show. And if you go to the – that basically takes you to Blog Talk Radio, and then once you get to Blog Talk Radio down at the bottom, you can actually flip through the archives, and there's about a year's worth of radio shows now. So you can go back and listen to any of them if you miss those. If you want to call in for a reading, you can call in at 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to you, Dr. Connie.
All righty. Excuse me. Thank you, Mark. Welcome this evening. This is Dr. Connie McNeil with In the Arms of the Angels. My website is drconniesays.com, and my email address is drconniesays@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Got a few things on the website that you might find helpful or interesting, so if you'd like to take a look, that would be great. Again, as Mark said, I'm going to be doing free angel card readings at the half hour of the show. I find the cards to be very helpful. One of the things that I'm finding on my spiritual journey is that I get the same messages. I get recurring messages over and over. And I have a feeling that this is the same for most everybody. Thoughts come up or comments come up in a conversation, books that are suggested or signs that you read, all kind of say the same thing. And I was reading a sometimes you don't understand them because you just it just has to get into your system. So I was reading a passage in a book this morning for my devotions, and I didn't like it. I didn't understand it, and I was just sort of angry, and I sort of flipped through it because I'm just kind of going, come on, God, can't you give me something here? So I just sort of shut the book, and very clearly I heard Spirit say, open it up and read it again. So I opened it up and I read it again. And then I found, even if it's one or two sentences, because the majority of this passage I didn't even understand a lot of it. But the part that was meant for me was like a zinger. And then I took my cards. This morning I used my tarot cards, and I asked for additional information on what Spirit was wanting to say to me. And part of it for my message and what it has to do for tonight is just to kind of lighten up and not be so serious all the time and not be so worried about, I take this show very seriously and I take what I say very seriously. And I pray and I meditate and I want to get it. If there's a right, I want to get it right. So what the cards are saying for me is, you know, just kind of lighten up and, you know, kind of have some fun and relax. So I'm driving home from work, and a friend calls me, and he said, I got this story to tell you. So he tells me the story, and in the middle of the story, I know exactly what my topic should be. And what he was saying to me was he's been working for years on a particular product that he's going to promote. And part of the product is developing videos So he's holding, he's having his videos, and as he's talking and presenting his information, he knows that he's holding resentment to a certain class of people that have made it more difficult for him to move his product along. And he knew that he had to stop because holding on to the resentment was blocking him from being able to have the spirit and the content and the flow that he wanted to have. So he did some prayer, and he did, he asked spirit, and he asked his angels on a way to forgive these people. And then his spirit shifted, and when his spirit shifted, his entire presentation shifted. And everything in his video just flowed. He didn't say anything different, but the way that he said it and the message that he conveyed by the way he said it was totally different. So what I wanted to speak to you tonight was the power of forgiveness and what happens to us when we don't forgive, when we hold on to anger, and we hold on to resentment. And what happens when we do forgive and we're able to let go and begin to step forward. If there's anyone listening to the broadcast tonight and you have had an experience where you have been able to forgive someone and you feel the tugging of the spirit to call in, you don't have to get a reading, but if you have something to contribute on how you have been able to forgive someone, I would highly invite you to call in. So some of the things about forgiveness is it takes a very strong person to forgive. That forgiving doesn't change your past, but it has everything to do with changing your future. When you forgive someone, you are not condoning what they did. If you were abused, if you were raped, if someone stole all your money, if someone took something of value from you, forgiving that person does not make it okay. The forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. The forgiveness is for me. When I hold on to anger and resentment, it is like fixing a poisonous drink because I am so angry with this person and drinking it myself. And I know at some level all of you guys know that. So I may not be saying anything new about what forgiveness does to you. I might be able to help shift how to move into that. The problem with forgiveness is that when we do not forgive, we continue to be tied and bound to the person or the situation in which we are feeling, we continue to feel the anger, and we continue to feel the resentment. One of the classic examples of holding on to anger and resentment found in Charles Dickens' Great Expectations with his character of Miss Havisham. Miss Havisham was a woman who fell in love with this man. Everyone warned her that this man was only after her money, and she didn't listen because she was so in love, and she's getting dressed for her wedding. She is in her wedding dress. She is 9 minutes away from walking out and going to her ceremony when she gets a letter from this man saying that he's not interested in marrying her and he leaves her. She, in the story, she never takes off her wedding dress. She had all of the clocks stopped at the moment of the time she got the letter. She never removes the food that was the wedding and reception food. She never takes out the wedding cake. The wedding cake still stays there. And I remember in high school we read this story. We had to do some sort of a report or something, you know, some sort of tangible something about the story. So I actually did something with the picture of this woman, and everything was covered in cobwebs, and she was now old, and she had stayed in this room for her whole life. And you can look at this woman, and you can say, how foolish and ridiculous, and I would never do that. But every time that we hang on to our anger and we hang on to our resentment, we are doing the exact same thing as this woman. My friend Mike has been divorced for years, 10 years, and he has joint property with his ex-wife. They cannot agree on anything. And 10 years later, they are still fighting and bickering over this joint property, and they have saved, each of them, because they write these emails back and forth to each other and have these conversations with other people, and they have, each of them has saved every email. And every time somebody, one of them sends an email, if the ex-wife sends an email to my friend Michael, he's angry and he's talking to me and he's showing me this stuff. He is more married to this woman now than he was when he was married to her, because they cannot, because there's so much anger and resentment and there's no forgiveness. They are still extremely bound and tied to each other. If you are finding that you're holding on to a situation, I have a lady that I work with who is feeling very overwhelmed at work and very put upon and very angry and resentful about what she feels is not her job description, to the point that she has lost her focus on why she's there to begin with. And when we focus on our anger and resentment, we lose our spiritual focus on why we are here to begin with and what our life purpose is and what we came into this world to do, to make this world a better place, to bring love and light and compassion and joy to the world, because we're so focused on the wrong that's been done to us. So, in order to forgive, the first thing is forgiving is a choice. It is not an emotion. I am going to choose to forgive the person or the situation. I am going to voluntarily do this. No one is putting a gun to my head. I don't feel like at any level that I have to forgive somebody. I'm doing this of my own free choice. And I'm making a decision that I am going to move away from the person and or the situation. if I can't move away from them physically, I move away from them energetically, spiritually, cognitively, emotionally. By continuing to hold on to resentment, I continue to be a victim. I continue to say, this person or this situation has more power and control over me than I do. And I am unable to move on because of this person or this situation. Because I'm bound and I'm tied. It's like taking a big rope and you know, tying myself up with it. One of the ways to begin looking at the forgiveness and the resentment is looking at how does the resentment, how does holding on to this anger, and if you've been abused, taken advantage of, belittled, whatever the circumstance is, you feel like, well, I have a right to be this angry or be this resentful. The question to ask yourself is, what effect does having this anger and resentment do for you? For my colleague at work, she goes home tired. She goes home feeling that she's unappreciated. She goes home feeling that people can just dump work on her whenever they choose to. She feels depressed. If you have been in a personal situation and now you feel distrust towards somebody, do you enter other relationships or look at people with a bit more resentment or a bit more you fear getting close because you don't want to get hurt again? You go into a job interview and you go, well, I know this isn't going to work because none of the other job interviews have worked, because do you do something like that? What effect does having the resentment and anger do for you? Are you physically sick? Do you feel emotionally tired and exhausted? Every day, just a drudgery. Another thing to do, and this is going to be very difficult for a lot of people, but if you choose and make a conscious choice to forgive and let go of whatever happened and move on, one of the questions to ask is, what role did you play in the situation? If it's a personal situation, how did you respond? What did you do? What did you not do? And it's beginning to take responsibility for, these are the results of my actions. I'm working with a 12-year-old little boy today who a long time ago gave up. He's been in as many foster homes as he has had years of life on this earth. Both of his parents are gone. And he has learned very early to blame everybody else for you know, I'm sitting in detention because of somebody else. I don't, and when you want to explain, well, here's the actions that you did that got you here, yeah, but it's somebody else's fault. If I am going to honestly put down my resentment and my anger, I get to look at the situation not only from my perspective of what did I contribute, but looking at the other person or situation as to why it happened. Most people do the best they can at the time. So let's say that your spouse had an affair and left. Or let's say that you gave a lot of money, or you gave a lot of time, or you gave a lot of something and put a lot into a relationship, and then feel like that you got the short end of it. If I look at the other person with the understanding that people always do the best they can with what they have at the time, then that person was doing the best they could. Their mindset was, you need to give me this money. You need to give me your time and attention. You need to give me, you know, all of your devotion. You need to, as my employee, you need to work really hard because of something that's going on. If I'm the boss, something that's going on in my head about my employees have to work really hard because if they don't, I'm not going to have enough money to keep my business going. If that's where I'm at, and I'm expecting and demanding a lot of you, and you're angry and resentful about that. If I'm in a personal situation and I want my lover to give me lots of money because I'm afraid of I won't have enough, or I need lots of time and attention from this person because I just kind of need that. Does it make sense what I'm saying? The more that I focus on what you did to me, the less I get to focus on what I can do for you, for God, for the world, and why I'm here. What I find in my personal journey is the angels speak very softly, and their message is very subtle. Very few times do I get hit in the head with a 2x4 with a Bible verse from God saying, this is what I want you to do. So when I ask for a sign, which I do, and I pray for guidance, and I seek to become the best I can be, then I need to be aware and focusing on what the angels are telling me. And if I'm focused on you because you did whatever you did to me, or my job because they're, you know, so cruel and take me for granted, or my fear, going to get a job, or I'm never going to have enough, or I'm never going to be loved, it pulls me away from moving along in my spiritual journey. And two other entities that people get very angry and resentful toward is God, because you didn't give me what I wanted when I wanted it, and I've been praying forever and you're still not giving it to me, and I still don't know what I'm doing, and, you know, the talk can go on and on and on. And the other entity is me. How could I be so stupid? How could I have done that? What was I thinking? What kind of a moron am I? Whatever my self-talk is, if there is something in me that is feels I'm not good enough or afraid to step out into the spotlight where God wants me, afraid to stand in my power, as I said in an earlier show, afraid to do what God has me to do, so I'm going to run the opposite direction, then it's going to be very easy for me and very convenient for me to focus on you. How could you? How come you're like you are? How come you don't give me whatever? God, how come you don't Forgiveness is letting myself move forward. I can't change the past, and I cannot change the person or the situation that caused us to begin with. But I can take it as a life lesson. I can take it as I've learned a valuable step toward making positive changes for me. And the act of forgiveness, the act of giving somebody a break, if we can move into that space, it causes a not even a ripple, it causes a tsunami in changing the world. If I can look at you with love and compassion and be able to move forward because I just choose to, and it's a process. If you knew how to forgive, but if I choose to forgive you, and I pray, and I make that a matter of asking God and my angels to come in and help me, then it's going to happen. It may not happen as quickly as I want, and sometimes it's very painful, especially if I don't see, gee, I got hurt, and I'd like for you to get hurt too, and I see this other person prospering and moving on or whatever. And I can get into my, yeah, but this is not fair. The forgiveness is for me. The forgiveness is for moving on. It's a stepping out of the shadows into the light. So with that, Mark, I'm right about at the half of the hour. Why don't you come on in and do your half hour thing.
Excuse me. There we go. So you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you want to find out more about this show or other shows, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Make sure to go check out Dr. Connie's website, which is drconniesays.com. And we have a new service up there now, don't we?
Yes, we do. For $25, you can have a on the. Hang on, I'm getting this horrible feedback. Hang on. For $25, you can have a email reading, card reading. You can email me your question, and then the response that I give is a very thorough, a fairly detailed response for your question. So that's something that's available for you. I find, again, like I said at the beginning, I find that my cards are very helpful in helping me clarify a specific step for me to take or a specific thought for me to have. and it's presented in a way that maybe I wouldn't have gotten it on my own. So that's a new thing I've got there. Are you still there, Mark?
Yeah, I keep on muting myself. So if anybody wants to call in for a reading, you can call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And back to you, Dr. Connie.
All righty. Thank you, Mark. What I would like to do, because I always feel like that the angels have a message for the listeners for tonight and those that will be coming in for a reading or a listening through the archives. So what I would like to do is do a reading for how to forgive, and for specifically for you folks listening now, and again for those that might be tuning in, this is just for you. And I cannot say enough about how I believe that the angels are communicate through the cards. So the first thing that the angels want you to know is that you are here for divine purpose, that there is a reason for you to be on this earth. When my friend called earlier today, he was telling me about the author of The Harbinger, which is a New York Times bestseller. This man is a rabbi who found Jesus, so he is a Jew for Jesus. And he wrote this book, and he said, you know, God, I don't have any money. I don't know anybody. He had a small congregation, about 200 people in his church. But he wrote this, and he said, I don't know anybody. I don't have a name. I don't have a following. I don't have anything. But here it is. This is for you. This book is written for you. Do with it what you want. So he's on a plane, and this guy's looking at him, and won't take his eyes off of him. And he is a Jew, and I guess Jews can look at someone, and even though they may not be in, you know, a rabbinical attire, kind of know they're a rabbi. So this man says, I really feel like that there's something that you have to say, and that God really wants to help me to help you, you know, do this. And the author said, well, I did write this book. And he goes, well, I just happened to know, and gave a very high up position of one of the major publishing companies. So they hook up, they give him the book, they love the book, and almost overnight this book is a not only a national but an international bestseller. You know, everybody has something like that. We are not always going to be international bestsellers. But there is a way that the universe will communicate on how to move along with what your life purpose is. When my friend called this afternoon, I was still praying and meditating over what do I do for tonight? And God provided the message through my friend. So it's looking at sometimes the very small things, like a phone call, that people can give you information that will help when you pass that information along, it helps somebody else. And a lot of us are waiting for to be the big whatever, you know, the smash hit singer or the great author or the whatever. But if your journey. If my journey right now is in a small public school in a rural area, working with kids like this little guy today that lost his parents and has been in 12 foster homes in 12 years. That's my calling for right now. And doing this radio show and doing my angel cards for those who seek that service. I focus on what you did to me. I am going to miss those little messages like my friend's phone call. That is going to let me pass that information along to someone else. So what the angels want you to know is that the work that you do, when you do your life purpose, whether you're selling flowers, whether you're working in a store, whether you're preaching to 10 million people, everybody's work is equally important in the eyes of the universe because it all fits together like a puzzle. Thing that the universe and the angels want you to know is to stand in your integrity, to know what you believe, to know why you believe it, and be able to not waver from that. Again, going back to my friend, he's been working on his this product, and we have visited over the years numerous times. And there's always been a question mark, and there's always been, am I doing this right? Am I doing this? You know, I really want God to bless this. But there was always a question and always a pause until today. And in my recent conversations with him, he is rock solid on what he believes and why he believes it. And he doesn't, the critics are going to come, just like people are going to come to you and maybe say, you don't know what you're talking about. But if you stand in your integrity, you stand in your beliefs, stand in what you know to be true for you, then that helps you move along, so that you're not caught up in resentment and you're not caught up in being the victim of, you know, what somebody else has done or said to you. Because my belief, my source, is my creator. Everything I have, from my financial security to my material wealth, to my romantic love, to my companionship, to my career, to my life purpose, everything that I have is in that. So you can say anything you want to me, but if I know where I stand in my integrity, I am much less likely to get caught up in, you hurt me, you took from me, you take me for granted, that kind of a mindset. When you're working on your life purpose, when you're working on what you want to do for others, the best way for me to get out of thinking about me is to think about you, not how you abused me, but how I can be compassionate, how I can look at other people and other situations, and how I can show love and compassion to them and visualize doing that. Instead of focusing on how hurt I am, what can I do to make somebody else's day better? Even if it's a smile, holding the door open, offering a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen. Even if I give a dollar tip to the lady at McDonald's, just because I want to give of what I have. I may not have a lot, but I can give that. and visualize what I do as making a difference, that's what empowers me. To move toward my being the best I can be and doing the work that the Creator has for me. Being able to be creative. It's being able, again, this whole day is going full circle for me, in just kind of relaxing and letting my imagination go, letting what's instead of being so focused on the past and what happened to me and this person that I'll never forgive or this, you know, job that I just hate every day that I go, instead of focusing on that, focusing on my creative side and how I can move forward and expand myself and how I can do things that will make me move toward what I want, whether that's going back to school or taking a class or joining a yoga class or you know, finding a spiritual group or whatever that is, getting out of my little box of how I think and being able to dream of what's possible. When I'm focused on that, and I'm focused on, God, what can I do today to live this day with heart? What can I do today to be the best I can be? Put the people in front of me that are going, that I can be a blessing to, that you want me to touch, that I can say something that will inspire them. What can I do today that's fun or relaxing? Let me enjoy my children or my home or my whatever. Pick one. Do you see what I'm saying? If I look at how powerful I am because I'm a child of God, that I have a purpose, and maybe what was done to you, if you look at it as a life lesson, or you look at it as sometimes God is going to put people in our life that is going to wound us to help us grow. If I look at them as a one of my master teachers, then I have gone far past the resentment. I have stepped out of that whole quagmire of my pity party and been able to say, okay, I learned that lesson. That was a great lesson for me to learn. I needed to learn that lesson. Now I can move on. I did this in this relationship. I did this that helped bring that about. Okay, I won't do that again. Does that mean, this is very difficult when I can't see you, because as a teacher, when I was teaching my classes, I could get their facial expressions, so they'd raise their hand and ask questions, and I'd say, you know, does that make sense? And then I'd get feedback. So I'm only hoping that what I'm saying is landing. Mark, do you have something to say?
No, I was going to say it does make so much sense, and I also want to let you know you have a caller, so do you want to take that?
I do. Very cool.
All right, Nicole, you're on with Dr. Connie.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
good. Thanks.
How can I help you this evening?
Mine kind of goes along. My question kind of goes along with what you're talking about. I have a great friend, and we've been coaching each other for a couple years now, like 3 or 4 years, and every week we talk. And a pattern that we have is coming up, and I don't know how to change it, and it is causing me to feel anger and resentment towards her, which I don't like because she's a great friend. And so what happens is the word that comes up is overbearing, but I don't know that that's the best description. She's definitely just more assertive than I can be. And so lately, if she's going through something, I don't feel like she's hearing me or listening to me. She'll interrupt a little bit before I'm done, and then she'll stick with something that we talked about in the past as an example, you know, of how I should feel better, or we talked about this, and I'm trying to think of how to explain it very well. But I don't know how in the moment to tell her. I told her at other times after the fact, and she said she wishes I would have told her at the time. But I don't know, or I'm not confident enough to say, you interrupted me, will you let me finish? Or you're relying on these stereotypes and you didn't even finish letting me talk. So does that make sense?
It makes total sense. I'm glad I'm not the only one to say, does that make sense? One of the things that God wants is wanting to teach you, and one of the reasons that he gave you this friend, and she is your master teacher, number one is how to set boundaries. You are overstepping your friendship in because you won't let me finish a sentence. Did I hear a child? Did I hear a child back there behind you?
Yeah, that's my 4-year-old.
Okay, great. So how many times do you let your 4-year-old run the house?
How many times do you let him run the house?
Yeah. He gets to do what he wants. He gets to do what he wants whenever he wants. You don't ever tell him no. He gets to go to bed when he wants. He gets to eat when he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
We're working on it because I have a 7-year-old, and he antagonizes a 7-year-old, so we're working on it.
Exactly, because here's the goal that I want.
Okay.
This is the goal that I want for my children. So in order for me to have that goal, this is what I'm going to do. So you've never had a 7 and a 4-year-old before. You're on a learning curve, right?
Right.
So you don't know how to be a mother to a 7 or a 4-year-old because you've never been one. But you know that you're setting boundaries and you know the goal you want to move toward, right?
Right.
It's the exact same way with your friend. This is what I want. I love you having you in my life. This is what I need in a friend.
Okay.
I need you to listen. I need you to not interrupt. I need you to, and maybe sometime when you're not in the middle of a discussion, say, when you do this, how do you want me to tell you that you're stepping on my words?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want me to say to you when you want to bring up the past and it's not helpful anymore? Because when I'm talking to you, I don't feel like you hear me. And then just tell her and let her tell you how you can do that, because it's the same thing as you. God has given you multiple opportunities to set boundaries and to look at the goals of what it is you want to achieve. So you are very emotionally sensitive. Yeah, well, you're emotionally sensitive. So you take on all of this and you kind of don't know what to do. Yeah, you are.
Yes.
And that's great, to a point.
Right.
But it's learning to be sensitive and kind of sensitive wearing a velvet glove. You know, you can be assertive and get what you want by you don't scream and yell, but you kind of just ease into getting what you want. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
And I started a 6-week program that helps people like me not take on other people's energy. And then one of my friends today had said, you have to learn to observe, not absorb.
And I'm sorry, say
because
that again.
We have to learn to observe my friend's distress, I do, and not absorb it.
Right. And one of the things that I do every morning is I ask Archangel Michael to surround me with a protective bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not take on other people's energy. You know, so it might help for you to do that as well, because this is a learning curve for you, and evidently it's an important one because you're getting kind of bombarded with it.
I started something like that just in the last few days, and I know I'm going to keep trying it because I don't feel like it works yet, but it's not one of those once-and-done type things. And if I'm brand new at it, like you were saying, there's a learning curve.
Honey, give yourself a break and let you've never done what you're doing right now. The part of the forgiving and not continuing to be a victim is saying, I'm doing the best I can with what I have, and I'm getting better at it every single day.
I should probably write that down.
Don't be so hard on yourself and put down the beat up bat and let yourself not know. And give yourself, God wants you to have enough self-confidence
mm-hmm.
to say, look, friend, this is what I need in a friend and this is what I don't need in a friend. However you want to say that. So is that helpful?
Very, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. I'll eventually figure out how to mute and unmute, so.
That's your learning curve.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to you, though.
Yeah, you are. You're learning it. That's good.
So,
you know what? But this is what I love about doing this show and being knowing when you're on a spiritual journey is really just we can just fall flat on our face and get back up and know that God's still, you know, teaching us and moving us along. So I think it's great.
Yeah, it's interesting what you had said earlier, because I went to go see a conference this past weekend, and the woman who spoke, I always pronounce her name incorrectly, it's Patricia Kobarolbas, and she's kind of like an ascended master teacher. She's been actually teaching and traveling around the United States and doing free conferences. I think she's actually going to Texas next. She was just in both coasts of Florida this past weekend. And, you know, she said one of the things that you had brought up earlier on the show today, and that is what I think a lot of spiritual people are recognizing right now. You know, there's kind of like a push. I think there's this general model that we were in the corporate world, and to be spiritual, we want to basically go and, you know, just do our spiritual work. We want to just become healing practitioners or we want to just go out and do readings and stuff like that. And, you know, that's kind of like all our dream jobs, is that that's exactly what we want to do. We want to get away from the whole corporate, you know, money structure, and we want to get into this other thing. And I think one of the interesting things that she said this weekend was that people have to realize that the most important light that you bring into the world is wherever you're working already. So for me, it was back in the corporate world. For you, it's in the schools. And, you know, this has been the biggest drive that she's kind of putting out there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with everybody out there doing, you know, if you can get out there and become just a practitioner of a certain modality. But she said the bigger call or the biggest shift to really shift the planet is to have all of us light workers out there doing the work within the structures or wherever we are. And one of the examples that she gave is that she said that one of her students or whatever was basically an employee who makes like nuclear missiles. And he's like, how in the world am I supposed to be spiritual when I'm working in this like defense contracting position of building missiles that are going to drop bombs and kill people? And she said, well, why don't you show up at work and surround all the missiles with like energy and angels and the intention that they'll never be used? And she kind of joked and said, but whatever you do, don't tell your boss that you're doing that. But, you know, there is that sense of just showing up in whatever job it is that you have. And she says, it doesn't matter if you're a trash man or you're a teacher or whatever. It's like bring your light into that space. And I think, you know, when I went to yoga the other day, it's one of the things I actually thought about. I said, you know, even within me going to a yoga class, I can sit here and I can send love to everybody in the class, and then I can go out and expand out and expand out and expand out. So it was just interesting because I know you said that earlier, that basically as workers, we can do our work and we can be spiritual and bring our light. We can bring our light into any space that we're in. And it was just a comment I wanted to make for tonight.
Right. And another thing is to pray for those people that you work with. If I were going to a defense place, it would just bring more to my mind the importance of praying for peace. So if I pray for, you know, my coworkers and my students and people are praying for their colleagues, and it can be a It can shift the world. And if we're all out, you know, being gurus, then we're not touching people.
Yeah, we're basically, you know, out there preaching to the choir, you know, instead of out there trying to, you know, as the Jehovah Witnesses would do. We're not out there, you know, witnessing, you know, or bringing our light. So with that, I want to say good night to everybody, and good night to you, Dr. Connie, and let
good
everybody
night, Mark.
Know you've been listening to In the Arms of the Angels. And Dr. Connie is on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. And with that, if you want to find out more about Dr. Connie and the great new email readings that she's doing, go to her website, which is drconniesays.com, and see that new email reading deal that she announced this evening. And with that, good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.